And here's another thing that you see with youth sports. Parents want something more for their kid than the kid wants it for themselves. Or
that's so true.
They weren't very successful in high school, and they really want their kid to then take what they didn't accomplish and accomplish more, which is great.
How is that great? That sounds like they're living vicariously through their kids.
It's great that the parent wants more for their kid. But there are some times that the kid doesn't have it.
Well, good day to you. It's Joel with The King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
And I think it's super hot when you coach. I haven't told you that, have I?
You keep telling me that. Anytime you want to tell me I'm hot, I'm all ears.
It's hot when you play basketball and when you coach basketball. Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Paula Ferris Show. I am your host, Paula Ferris. And guess who's back?
Back again. Johnny's back. Hello, friend. All right, we're not going to go Eminem.
No, we're not going to go Eminem. But that probably was one of your favorite warm-up songs, which leads me to introduce our topic today, John, which is youth sports. This is something that's going on. It's a hot topic in most homes. Not only the importance of youth sports, but also like how far is too far? Have we gone too far with youth sports? So I'm excited to jump into this conversation with you, John. We've had some great conversations in your absence. I missed you. John Acuff was on the show talking about ditching the guilt of being a working parent.
Yep. Enjoyed that one.
And then Dan Harris, one of our favorite people, talks about why he stepped away from ABC, and when your career doesn't align with your family. Then we had Mario Lopez, and now we've got you, right? The cherry on top.
We're trending down in terms of stardom and success, so he's got to deal with me.
We are not. So you guys are telling us what you want to talk about. This is a huge topic. Coming up, we have conversations about teen and tween boys, similar to what we did with Sissy Goff and Caroline. We're going to be talking about how to connect with our teen and tween boys, and Lord on high, do we need some help. We'll also be talking about how to care for your kids and parents, that sandwich generation. But today's topic, cannot wait to dig into it. And if you want to keep going further in these conversations, make sure you have signed up for my personal newsletter at paulaferrisofficial.com. And should I say the Paula and John newsletter too? Because I know, John, you've gotten a little territorial here
I just want to be recognized for the hard work that I'm putting in. That's it. That's
okay.
It,
you know. Can I give you a little bit of recognition?
Please.
Okay. Hold. I've got to get my phone because you have been lobbying for the show to be called the Paula and John or John and Paula Show.
My name's somewhere in there.
Somewhere in there. Did you know that I added you to the show description? So if you go to Apple Podcasts or Spotify, right, it says, join Emmy Award-winning journalist, founder of Carrie and America's Most Curious Mom, Paula Ferris, as she and her frequent co-host, husband John, talk about the hottest topics that parents are talking about.
Okay. I don't have any adjectives yet, no award-winning anything. It's just husband John. But over time, I can try to grow that. I'll do my best.
I know you will. And talking about doing your best, for those of you that don't know, John and I met in college. He was a college basketball All-American, loved sports growing up, excelled at sports growing up, huge fan of sports. He coached basketball. He, to this day, coaches high school basketball, coaches youth basketball. So it's going to be an interesting dynamic, the two of us, and we do differ on some aspects of youth sports, like how far is too far. But I'm excited for you to hear John's perspective on youth sports, the importance of it, the crazy parents, because there are some crazy parents out there that have unrealistic expectations about youth sports, but really how far is too far with youth sports. Like Easter weekend, I was with Caroline at a volleyball tournament in Atlanta, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I think that's a little too far. You might disagree, John. So,
yeah, this is an easy conversation that we're having, Paula, because this is something that we have each and every day, because our life really is revolving around youth sports right now, with a 16, 14, and 10-year-old. They're involved in sports like volleyball, golf, basketball, flag football, baseball, track and field. They're doing something almost every day and just about every weekend. You and I, we were looking at our calendar and like, hey, we need to go get away for a week. And just the two of us. And we're like, maybe 2025, we'll have some time. But we're trying to really embrace this season that we're in and support our kids.
Can you tell everybody what this is? And I'm holding up a basketball. There's a bunch of signatures on it. It's on our sports bar downstairs.
Yep.
So John, little wife brag here. I said he was a college basketball All-American, but when he graduated from high school in Indiana, he was the third leading scorer in high school history. And the record does not stand anymore, but Johnny's a baller, shot caller. What is this ball?
That is from college. That's all my college teammates. Oh. They signed that. The ball right behind me, that's actually the 1995 state championship ball. So that was my senior year, and we won that game, and I was given the game ball, and I still have it, and it's in my office right now still. Almost 30 years later. That's crazy to think about how long ago it was.
So clearly our kids are getting their athletic prowess from you. I don't have any trophies. I've always loved sports, but I may have been like third county softball. I played soccer for a while, but I do appreciate sports. And I really think that every kid in America right now, I think the numbers are about half of kids in America are playing youth sports. I think every kid needs to play sports because for a myriad of reasons. And from you, John, a coaching perspective, and from me, a parenting perspective, let's talk about some of the benefits of playing youth sports. That it's more than a sport. It's always more than a sport. So your mind from a coach's perspective, and also a player, you know, you grew up, you excelled in sports. Why do you think every kid should play sports?
Well, I think it's good to be a well-rounded individual. We always talk about, first and foremost in our family, being balanced spiritually, then also having the strong academics as well, and then physically. So all three of those components go hand in hand, and they're all equal in many, many ways. And so we want our kids to be active. We want them. There's so many studies that are out there about just getting a good sweat. It's good for anxiety. It's good to build endorphins. It's good to help you sleep at night. And being in a team environment, that's also good because you got to learn how to play well with other people and different types of personalities. And you may be a little shy and, you know, put somebody on the soccer field, and it's hard to be shy on a soccer field or on a basketball court or on a volleyball court. So it can kind of get you out of your comfort zone. And then there are some kids that just really excel. It's where they find their confidence. It's where they can find, I don't want to say their identity, but it's kind of what they can really pour their time into as a young individual. And for me, when I found basketball at a young age, the very first game I ever played, I was 10 years old, and I still remember my older brother and my mom signed me up, and I went out there, and I think I scored like 10 points, and the coach went over to my mom and said, John's got something. He's got something there. And from that day on, I took the game very seriously and played it every day for, you know, 20 plus years, all the way through high school and through college, and then coached for many years. So sports has been a big, I would just say, force in my life and shaping who I am today.
Yeah. And like I said, after you graduated college, you worked at an HBCU. You coached at an HBCU college for 6 years. Now that we've moved to South Carolina, you're coaching high school basketball again. You're the assistant varsity coach, and you're also coaching youth basketball.
Yep.
Some of the benefits that I see, I honestly think the greatest lessons our kids can learn, and this may get me in some hot water, probably, don't come in a classroom. I think they come on a field, a soccer field, a baseball field, a basketball court, because children in this generation have lost the art of resilience. And you and I see it every day, John.
Yep.
They don't know how to pick themselves up and move on. And the lessons that they learn, it's not all about you. You got to learn how to be a good teammate. Right? You've got to learn how to fail and fail forward and move on. You've got to learn how to cheer your teammates on. An example of this, Caroline, who is an exceptional volleyball player now, she didn't make her seventh grade volleyball team. Yeah. And you and I kind of turned it into a teaching moment. We're like, look, you can do two things. You can quit volleyball, or you can say it's going to motivate me. And look, she went on to make varsity her ninth grade year. And I love
all region her sophomore year.
Yeah. And she learned, she's had, I think so much of her confidence has come from sports, from learning how to be a good teammate, learning life's not all about her. And I want my kids to know that, like, they're here to serve other people. They're here to cheer their teammate on. And if they're on the bench and they're not cheering their teammate on, they're going to get a talking to afterwards. But I think every kid, they learn so many valuable lessons on the field. And that's why I think as parents, we have to have realistic expectations of what we're getting from youth sports. Do we think they're going to go pro? No. I mean, a lot of parents do. And I think they have unrealistic expectations, or we think they're going to go to college. I want my kids to play sports because I want them to be a better person. And I want them to learn how to fail and pick the pieces up and move on and be resilient, and how to be a good teammate and how to cheer for other people. That's what I want for every child and my own children.
What it's done in my life, it's built framework, consistency, discipline, doing something each and every day. And when the ball stopped bouncing, that moved on into the business world for me. And I approach my business in commercial real estate now in a very similar way to the way I approach sports. There's certain things that you got to do every day. There's certain things that you maybe don't want to do, but you know that are necessary to help you be successful. And I'm starting to see that in Caroline and in JJ, and we'll see in Landon. We're not quite sure with Landon, but with those two, it has definitely made them more disciplined,
absolutely,
more focused, more consistent in life. And those are characteristics that transcend sports, but they are necessary to be successful in life.
What are you seeing from a coach's perspective? Again, because you have coached college, you currently coach youth, which is like travel and AAU. And we'll get into all the differentiations in a second. And you've coached high school. What are you looking for? What makes an exceptional athlete? Is it just talent, or are you looking for how they're treating their teammates, their demeanor? Like, what do you want out of an athlete, and what would qualify as an exceptional athlete in your mind?
Well, what I'm going to do right now, Paul, is I'm going to look at things in maybe just three different buckets. So if you're looking at youth sports, I'm going to look at three different buckets. Rec sports, or recreation sports, where anybody can sign up, they get put on a team. Typically, some dad or mom is going to be coaching the team. There is then travel sports, which is a little bit more serious. You're typically paying to be on a team. You're taking some of the better players from all over who are playing together. And then there's your team, or your middle school or high school. And so they're all three differently. And I coach all three of those slightly differently, because in rec, a lot of it is just participation. It's have fun. Typically, when they're 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, there's only two or three of the kids on the team that actually even know the rules of the sport they're playing, or how to be somewhat, competent on the field. And a lot of it is just kind of hurting the other kids and keeping them active. So it's winning and losing. It's not so much about that at that young age. It's about having fun. It's about sharing experiences with your teammates, and then just get better. What I would tell a kid is, can we go get 1% better today? And if it's the game of basketball, can we make a layup a little bit better today? Can we dribble with our offhand a little bit better than we could today? And if we just keep doing that over time, then we're going to have the opportunity to maybe play on a travel team where there's kids are more serious. The two or three kids that actually know what they're doing on all those rec teams, now you take 10 or 12 of them and you put them on a team, and now you can coach them a little bit differently. You can give them a little bit more concepts, a little bit more schemes. You can push them a little bit harder because they're actually taking the game a little bit more serious. And what I see with a lot of rec coaches, they have way too high expectations for these kids. And unfortunately, they usually have way too high expectations for their own kids and the way they coach their own kids, and can get a little extreme.
Familiar. This sounds familiar a little bit, John.
Yeah, we may know some parents who are like that in the community. We may have experienced that. And we've heard some horror stories, that's for sure. And I've seen some horror stories. And what I try to stress with youth sports is development. In fact, the shirts that we're wearing, Tempo Sports Academy, I want to pub
CJ Davidson,
shout them out. Yeah, we got involved with this organization about 4 years ago. And this is one of the youth sports basketball programs that I coach. Our daughter plays on the volleyball team. And when we started a team about 4 years ago, it was a fifth grade team. And in fact, we didn't even call it a team. We called it a developmental team. It was all about tempo, developmental program. We wanted it to be a program where we're focused on development and skills and being able to move and stay healthy and active. And it was less about winning and losing. If you come in with that approach, the kids pick up on that. And then they're going to be ready, hopefully, if they really want to play this in their seventh, eighth, ninth, you know, into high school, play for a high school coach. That gets a little bit more serious. And the way I'm coaching our high school players is much more demanding. They have high expectations for themselves. We have high expectations for the team. There's more sacrifice that is going on. There's more of a time commitment, but it's like a slow progression to get to there. So you need to look at all of these different types of, you know, programs separately and have the appropriate amount of expectations as you're coming in, whether it's rec, whether it's travel, or whether it's middle school or high school, because they're all different.
Yeah. And you said, you know, when it's the rec league, you just want the kids to develop and to have fun. That's not necessarily the motto in club travel programs or AAU or even high school. Like, it is about fun, but is it about winning and losing at that point? Like, what's a realistic expectation and a healthy expectation? Because I hear parents all the time, and some of these travel teams, which are really competitive, they're like, well, I just want them to have fun. Should that be the attitude when we're playing at an elite level? Or,
well, it depends what the expectation is. And even within travel, there are different levels. There are the elite clubs that are going, and they're not just playing within an hour, they're playing within the entire Southeast, or they're traveling all the way to Vegas or Orlando to play in these big time tournaments against some of the other top athletes across the country. So that's going to be a different expectation. And, you know, and is getting back to travels in AAU sports, pretty much anybody can put an AAU program together. They don't have to go through any certification. They don't have to have played or coached at any level. In Europe, you have to, if you're going to coach basketball, you have to get a certification. You have to have a license to coach the sport, because we're teaching kids things that maybe we've never done. And here's another thing that you see with youth sports. Parents want something more for their kid than the kid wants it for themselves. Or
that's so true.
They weren't very successful in high school, and they really want their kid to then take what they didn't accomplish and accomplish more, which is great.
How is that great? That sounds like they're living vicariously through their kids.
It's great that the parent wants more for their kid. But there are some times that the kid doesn't have it. The kid is not like, if you're going to play basketball and you are unathletic and you're 5'6", it's going to be probably difficult to play at a high school or college level. Not saying that you're not, but you may not have given your child the right genes to be successful. And there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah. But when you expect your kid to be some superstar and it's just not in the cards for them, and they may not even want to do it, you want it more for them. That's where I see the disconnect and the real challenge.
And I do want to talk about some of those crazy sports parents, which I've had a couple of my own moments. You've had some moments too. But while we're on the subject of it, living vicariously, it doesn't become fun anymore for these kids. I saw a stat in the USA Today that said 70% of kids quit sports by the age of 13 because they're not having fun anymore. And it's more about the success that their parents wanted or want for the kids. Yeah. And so that's where I think you have to have realistic expectations. Yes, your kid needs to play sports, but what are the expectations? Are you expecting your kid to go pro? Are you expecting your kid to play in college? Or are you just expecting your kid to develop as a human being, to learn, to serve other people, to be a good teammate, to be disciplined, to exercise and be healthier, to build resilience, all of these things that they get out of sports. So I think having clear expectations, like, don't burn your kids out. I don't expect our kids to play in college, but I think JJ wants to. And I do honestly think you and I, this might be a little bit of tension, actually a lot of tension. I think you push him a little too much and you want him to get to the next level. You played D2. I think, you know, you sometimes want it more for him than he wants it for himself. But I do see a little bit of shift, and he is now pushing himself a lot harder. But you and I have had a lot of conversations, heated conversations about this, because I'm like, just, you need to back off a little bit. Right? He wasn't having fun for a while.
You know, interesting that you would say that, Paula, because I went to NCAA.com and I pulled up some statistics about high school athletes transitioning and playing Division I sports. So in baseball, 2.2% of all high school athletes play college at the Division I level. Basketball, it's 1%. Cross country, 1.8%. Football, 2.9%. The best chance you have to play college sports is ice hockey, 4.8%. And that's for men. And for women, it's 8.9%. So if you want your daughter to play Division I sports, have them play ice hockey, because every other sport is 1%, 2% to play. And to get this, then just to go play Division I is one thing. If you want or think your child has the ability to play professionally, 1 in 16,000 high school athletes actually attain a professional career in sports. So if you think your child is the one out of 16,000, then you support them, you push them, but the numbers aren't there. Most of the time, there is going to be a time where the ball stops bouncing, and that's okay. But the things that you can learn, as we talked about earlier, in regards to consistency, discipline, teamwork, health, all the things that go into just living a healthy, long, enjoyable life, there's so many great reasons why to play sports, as long as you keep the proper perspective as a parent.
It stems from us. How do we talk about it? What are our expectations? How much pressure are we putting on our kids? Some parents need to just back the heck off. And look, we have been, and sorry if I was a little blunt there, but our kids have played a slew of sports, John, volleyball, flag football, regular, you know, regular football, basketball, track and fields. Soccer was something else. But we have seen some crazy parents, and I've had some moments of unhealth. I yelled at some volleyball girls at a tournament probably about 2 months ago, because I don't really want to get into it, but we were in a heated like third set match, and they were warming up on a court over like right behind our court, and their balls during warm-up kept interrupting our play in like a really heated third set. And I walked over and I was like, contain your balls, please. So, and I almost, I don't know, you actually know this because you were coaching. I had a woman yelling at me. I thought she was going to beat me up at a basketball tournament. These basketball parents are great. I think basketball is the worst. Because every parent thinks that their kid is going to make it. And like you said, 1 in 16,000. I also saw the stat. There's a 0.0296% chance that your child will become a pro athlete. But for whatever reason, basketball parents think their kids are going to go pro. You were coaching, John, so I don't know how much you actually paid attention. My friend Kim was right next to me. And these parents, they were in for a travel tournament. We were all in Charlotte, North Carolina. And this team that we were playing, so we were representing Tempo Sports Academy in the Seneca, Clemson, South Carolina area. And we were playing a team, I think, out of Roanoke, Virginia or something. And these parents were all like screaming and cussing at their coach and cussing at the refs and cussing at our kids. And Caroline, our daughter, was at the tournament. She was running the scoreboard, just volunteer, like the refs asked her to do it. And some of the parents were yelling at Caroline that she had the score wrong. Well, she didn't. And they started cussing at her. And, you know, my mama bear came out, and I was like, oh, no, you didn't talk about my kid that way. You know, so this woman, I really thought, like, I was sitting down and she came up to me. I thought she was going to punch me in the face. I just think these parents are crazy. Yeah. And that was not necessarily a great moment for me either. But like, don't start trashing my child, because that's when, you know, that's when my unhealth is going to come out.
We haven't talked about it, but really, between fifth grade and eighth grade, sports is less about skill and it's more of a puberty contest, as I've 100%. Said many times. There are so many kids that just develop physically in the fifth, sixth, seventh grade, and then they never grow again.
Yeah.
They're the kid that's 5'8", has facial hair, dominating everybody. And guess what? When they're a senior in high school, they're 5'8", with that same facial hair, and they're not even on the varsity team. So you're going to see that a lot, where just trust the process. Talk about just, let's get better. Let's get better. Everybody grows at a different level. Everybody's skills grow. It's more about the journey. And if you look more long term on where you want your athlete to be, we had an athlete on our varsity team, super proud of him. He was All-State this year, and that's a huge honor in the state of South Carolina to be qualified for All-State. But this individual did not make the varsity team his freshman or sophomore year. He played JV, but he just kept getting better. And in fact, yes, his junior year, he only averaged about 7 points a game, but he was playing a team role and he just kept every year getting a little bit better, a little bit better, a little bit better. And that slow development put him into a place where by his senior year, he was better than all of those kids who were probably dominating him in the fifth, sixth, seventh, and eighth grade. He trusted the process, and his parents were always great and supportive about the decisions that were made. And he's the type of kid that you want to coach. He's the kid that just understands, hey, I'll do whatever I can to help this team, and I just want to keep getting better, and I want to be surrounded by coaches who are going to help me ultimately get there.
So his parents weren't saying, if you don't play him more, we're going to leave?
Yeah, yeah.
There weren't.
Plenty of parents that will, especially in this
That's what bothers me so much. Yeah. It's not just about your kid. Like, yep, if you want your kid to think of other people and be a good teammate, then you can't be there just to cheer your kid on. Like, oh, yeah. When we go to watch our kids, we're like, we can't wait to watch your team play. And we will cheer wildly for all of the kids because we want our kids to be good teammates. Life's not about you. I'm sorry. Yeah.
I remember when, back in New York, there was one parent that just drove you crazy. She would always come
my gosh.
They only say this kid's name, never congratulates anybody. We'll sit there and once they do something, then you'll hear them cheering, but they will not cheer for anybody else on the team.
For their kid.
And
that's another reason why kids get burnout, because the parents are putting so much pressure on them. So if you're going to be in the stand, cheer for all the kids, not just your own kid, because we may not realize that we're putting so much pressure on them. And that's why they get burnt out. That's why, 70% of kids quit by the age of 13. Yeah. And we're robbing them of a great developmental tool, especially girls. If you have girls, girls are a little cray-cray. Yes. And we have a daughter who's 16. Sports is the best thing that she has done because she has released endorphins, stress. Yeah. We know that girls have record levels of anxiety. It is the best thing you can do to get your daughter to work out in some capacity. And, you know, they're not really like going for a workout, but they're running in practice. They're exercising.
And you don't have to be the superstar. One of our neighbors, their senior year, she went and tried out for tennis. She had really never played tennis before. She went and she just wanted to be on the team her senior year, wanted to be part of something. So she spent the summer getting lessons and trying to prepare. And she played for that year. And who knows, you know, this is something she might play for the rest of her life. So it's not about going and necessarily being the best player, just being part of a team, getting a good sweat in, being active, being around other people you have to have the right perspective for what your child is capable of doing. And that can be hard because we all think our kid is the best in everything they do. And there's no way anybody's going to be better than them. But guess what? Look in the mirror, if you really look at your child, there's a good chance there are plenty of people who are better on the team or in the community or in the region or in the state. Mm-hmm. And just let your child run their race.
That's good.
And travel their journey.
Yeah, that's really good, John. So I think the last topic that we talk about, so we've talked about why kids should play sports. We've talked about some crazy parents. And look, I've been there too. So I've been a little crazy. But having realistic expectations and then really like breaking down the different levels of, you know, rec and then high school / middle school sports and then club, travel, AAU. But how far is too far? And I think this is where we feel a little bit of tension. I think at sometimes you have put a little too much pressure on one particular child in our family, because I think you might be living a little vicariously through his name, and it rhymes with Shay Shay. he's literally your clone, you guys. And JJ's always been an exceptional athlete, just like you were growing up. Like, it's disgusting for those listening or watching. John's just good at everything, and it's so annoying. JJ's just like that. He just picks sports up. He's natural. His hand-eye coordination is like off the charts. But how far is too far? How far should we be pushing our kids? But specifically, let's talk about the scheduling, because I was a little annoyed that we are playing on Easter. And we had a tournament here in the South. Caroline had a volleyball tournament. And I posted something about it. I heard from parents that had a tournament in Vegas. It's this annual tournament called the Big South. It's huge. It's a national qualifier. So you can't really skip it. And if you're going to be a teammate, like, you know, at the beginning of the season, you're signing on for all of these dates. So for those that said, well, why did you go? I'm like, well, we're also being a good teammate. Look, and it's a season. We get it. It's not always ideal. But why do they have to schedule on Easter? And yes, not everybody out there might be of the Christian faith, but they do celebrate either the bunny or the cross, right? Like, it is a holiday that I think everyone celebrates in some capacity. It's on the calendar, John. It's on the calendar. Like, if you looked up right now when Easter is in 2053, it would tell you April 6th. Right?
I have no explanation. I have no explanation for that. It's become so rampant that we're playing some activity every weekend, and it's okay. Yeah, it's okay to play in five or six tournaments. You don't necessarily need to play every weekend or every other weekend for six straight months. Like, this is the off season. That's what AAU or travel sports is. They play it in the off season. So you've already played your high school sports or middle school sport, and then you keep playing it through travel. So it's become almost a year round thing. And
everything
now
is year round.
Accessibility, and you see all these other kids through social media who are achieving all these different levels, and to really compete if you want to compete at the high level, you have to almost specialize in a sport probably at a younger age than you should actually specialize, and you have to do it 10, 11, potentially 12 months a year if you really want to get to the level that most kids want to get to.
I want to read a couple of comments. Kristen said, we had baseball 1 year on Mother's Day, Memorial Day weekend, Father's Day, and the 4th of July weekend, followed by my twin's birthday. My son didn't care, but his twin sister was less than thrilled. Jessica said, for the years that I coached, I refused to go have my team in a tournament Easter weekend and Mother's Day weekend. It's absurd. And then Jen says, from a former baseball player's nana, they schedule it because we go. She said, a few years ago, I responded no, that he wouldn't play because it's Easter weekend, and several others followed, leading to rescheduling it. We show up, so they will schedule it.
Yeah,
but the scheduling, I think, is where I have a big issue. And like, for you, are you going to schedule something on Mother's? Do you even know when Mother's Day is this year? Have you scheduled
In the last couple tournament? Years, they have like a one-day tournament on Saturday, and it's like a Mother's Day tournament, nothing on Sunday. So I'm a little bit more sensitive because I don't need your wrath where we're playing in sport.
I love how you said I'm sensitive because I don't need your wrath.
Yes. I'm sensitive to not receive your wrath.
Thank you, honey.
Not a good place to be.
I don't know if that says more about you or more about me.
I think it says a lot about both.
Okay. So you're not scheduling anything on Mother's Day weekend this year.
Nothing
Saturday,
on
but okay. But the Christmas tournaments, this is what annoys me too. Like, we have family out of town. These Christmas and Thanksgiving tournaments, they're like they go up until like Christmas Eve or Thanksgiving Eve, and it kind of hijacks your holiday.
It can, because there's only so many dates you can fit in to get your however many games you got to get in within a season. And so sometimes, you know, you see it in college and even in the pros, it's now become a thing. You see everybody looks forward to Thanksgiving Day and Christmas Day. There's NFL, there's,
that's,
you know,
different though. Yeah, you're getting paid for that. You're getting paid for that.
You're seeing sports being played on these holidays. So that just trickles down to, well, you know, if it's okay and I want to be a professional athlete someday, we can do it in college, we can do it in high school, we can do it in youth sports. So you are seeing it modeled at the professional level, and even at the college level, they're playing on Thanksgiving, they're playing on Christmas. So it has started to trickle down, because it has become the most important thing is the game, and not necessarily, you know, what is it taking away from.
But I do think there has to be some boundaries. So we had fall break this year. We live in South Carolina in the South, and they've wanted to like have more breaks throughout the year and a shorter summer. So this past year we had a fall break for the very first time. We booked a vacation because you coach, John, like literally year round, which hijacks our entire family vacation schedule. So I'm like, yes, we can go away during fall break. Well, then we find out, yes, they have off school, but they don't have off sports. They had games and practice. And I was so annoyed. There's got to be a balance here where you're also stealing away precious family time. Now, conversely, we do get to spend a lot of great family time together when we're going to these tournaments. Like Caroline and I have some of our best times. You and JJ, Landon is just along for the ride most of the time. We do make an event out of it, but there's still got to be some balance, especially around the holidays, especially like if your school's on spring break or your school's on fall break, you shouldn't have practices. You shouldn't have games, tournaments. Like literally it should be time off. I just think that was so ridiculous. And if I see it on the schedule again this year, I'm going to have to call somebody because that's not going to fly.
And just FYI, you don't want Paula's wrath. So whoever you are, don't schedule those
you
things.
You certainly don't. I'm not that scary, honey, am I?
I'm just kidding. It's only funny because it's true.
It's only I love you. Okay, so please don't get like upset by this, but I got really annoyed. We went on spring break this year for 5 days and we got back. JJ's also playing. He's playing basketball and golf. And you're like, yeah, we're not going to go on spring break next year because JJ needs, or he's like, you guys can go, but JJ needs to stay back here and work on his game. John, I'm sorry. That's not healthy. Were you joking? Because like,
I was partially joking, but that I don't was think you also are. Words coming from our son. That wasn't from me.
Okay, but if it's coming from him, he's probably feeling it from you. And you do need to rest your body. Like,
yes,
and
I agree.
Like you said, everything's year round. Yes, it was supposed to be high school sports were like 6 months, but now like the fall sports, they start practices in the spring. Like it's, these kids need a break, a mental break.
Yeah.
And that's where I get a little frustrated with you. You're an incredible athlete and our kids are so lucky to have you. And I think it's super hot when you coach. I haven't told you that, have I?
You keep telling me that. Anytime you want to tell me I'm hot, I'm all ears.
It's hot when you play basketball and when you coach basketball. I do think one struggle that we have is like pushing our kids too far or what is too far. And I think we have a different line there. So how do we work through that?
What I would say, Paula, is I want to foster what our kids want and what they need. And the way I support Caroline is different than the way I support JJ. And the way I support Lan is differently because I see different things in them and there's different requests that are being made from them. And so I want to like, hey, if I can push you, I'm going to keep pushing you because that's what you want me to do. If you don't want me to push you, I'm not going to push you. And if you can see that, it's different with each one of our kids, Paula.
Yeah, it's that's not, true.
It is. And it's because I sense certain things. When somebody wants to be coached, I want to coach them. If they don't want me to coach them, I'm not going to coach. I'm not going to waste my breath on that. And I'm not just saying that with my kids, but with some of the kids that I work with,
you
know, kids on our team, some kids just want to do what they do and they don't really want to be told how to do it. And hey, that's fine. I'm not going to force coaching, but you're probably not going to play on our team.
Yeah. No, I get that though. But I one thing I've always appreciated about your coaching style and how you coach, not just our kids, but like other kids and other families too, is you're pretty forthright and transparent, about everything.
And I think that's only fair.
Yeah. You're right. Are you still going to talk to me after this?
Of course.
You sure?
Yeah. This is a fun conversation. We have this conversation 100 times. So this isn't anything thing we haven't said. We just are now recording it and putting it on a podcast for the world to hear.
Most importantly, like we're in agreement that our kids need to be active and they need to learn the lessons that sports is going to teach them.
What did we do before this podcast?
We worked out. We went for a nice walk.
I worked out. I lifted weights. You and I went for a vigorous walk. So you can count yours is working out or not. It's up to you.
I do love looking at your signed basketballs throughout the house.
There you go.
And I've got to make you a scrapbook or something from all of your paraphernalia growing up. All the newspaper clippings.
Scrapbook.
And everything
that is so 1997. I love it. Yeah.
I promised you. That's in the works. I promise you, honey. You're great.
I love you.
So, John, I'm so glad we had this conversation. Don't be a stranger. You need to come back soon because you are in my show description as a frequent co-host. You're not going to be here next week when we talk about what to do when we're caring for our kids and our parents, that sandwich generation, or just caregiving in general. But it's something that you have felt with my mom being sick and my dad passing away. And this is something that has affected our family especially you. And I have to say, like, I just got back from spending a week. You are a great partner and supporting me, supporting our family, just letting me go be with my mom. And, you know, just don't worry about it, Paul. I got it all taken care of. But it's a new level of, and I don't want to call it a burden because it's an honor to serve your parents. Yeah. But it is a stressor, and it is a strain.
It wasn't something
hard to juggle.
We dealt with in our 20s, but it's now we're in that season where our parents are getting older, and it's a part of life, and we're trying to embrace it.
Well, I'm excited for everybody to hear that conversation next week, and then coming up, we have a two-parter about how to connect with our tween and teen boys, and it is fascinating. One of the most fascinating aspects that came from that conversation, John, with David Thomas, who is a counselor, he said that the collective IQ of boys, in fact, goes down when you get more than one of them in the room. When they gather together, the collective IQ goes down. I had so many moments that made, like, it just, my boys make a lot more sense now after having this conversation. And you actually.
Did that apply to fathers? Did their IQ go down as well when you got together with other fathers?
When dads get together with dads.
Yeah, when dads get together, I think our IQ definitely goes down as well. So it's just kind of a gender thing.
It kind of is, but I love you guys. Hey, John, it's been great. Thanks for talking about it. And everybody listening, make sure you send us a DM. What do you guys want us to talk about?
Yeah.
Because that's what we're here for. My co-host and I, my frequent co-host.
It was a fun topic. Thanks, Paula, for having me.
Okay, I love you. Thanks for listening and watching, everybody. I know you guys thought you were done with me, but not quite yet. I have one more thing to tell you about. If you're watching on YouTube or you're listening on your favorite podcast platform, don't forget to subscribe to the show. I don't want you to miss a single beat or a single conversation. And remember, my DMs are always open. Tell me what you want to talk about.